following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
And I'm very pleased to say we have experts again in our studios, multiple, as Joel Gratz returns. And Joel, I think a fascinating topic today that I had not heard anything about. So
Good morning, Bill. Good to see you again. I know we've seen a lot of each other lately with other things we've been doing. And you mentioned experts as plural. That is a fact. I have a very special guest, Catherine Mueller, CPA and manager with Christensen, has been with the firm about 4 years. And she is in our attestation and financial statement group. And we are going to be talking about a new GAAP standard, generally accepted accounting principle standard, that's going to be effective for calendar financial statements this 12/31/22, right, Catherine?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. And since you're making your first appearance, and we hope it's not the last, Catherine, that you have a good experience today, maybe find out a little bit about you. Joel alluded that you've been with the firm for a while now, but tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I began in public accounting in 2012. I'm from Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I started with a firm there in Grand Forks. And I moved to the area with my husband, and we live up near Painesville. Mm-hmm. And been with the firm for 4 years.
Yeah. So are you in the lake area up there at all then? Or
We're just out in the country, kind of in farmland.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
She's being humble. She has quite an estate, I understand, up there. Beautiful, beautiful farm site with a very big, nice country home, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
We can't give addresses because then it'll be, gawking and stuff. So it's all part of the...
There'll be somebody flying a drone later today. But yeah, welcome. And I'm glad that you've chosen our area to reside in. And not quite as cold here, I don't think, in the winter as Grand Forks.
Right. It's not quite the frozen tundra of Grand Forks.
I don't know. We get plenty of wind and stuff here too, but it isn't quite... It's so flat up there, it seems like, that I spent one winter in Thief River Falls and... It had to be the coldest that I've had so far, but I haven't been to Alaska or the Arctic Circle either, I guess, for winter. But
wow, if we're comparing ourselves to the Arctic Circle, then we're in trouble. But very good.
Yeah. All right. So it sounds like this is going to be a busy time for you then, Catherine, the end of the year just around the corner, really.
Right. So as Joel mentioned, there's a new accounting standard, and it's effective for leasing arrangements, and it's effective for this year, 2022. So the new standard applies to financial statements that are generally accepted accounting principles. So GAAP financials, which are typically those financials that, your accountant prepares for your lender, for your board of directors, and that sort of thing.
So. And GAAP is short for what then? I'm assuming it's an acronym for something.
Yes, generally accepted accounting principles.
All right. Yeah. So it's a GAAP then. So.
GAAP. I've never said it like that, but I might have to sell that. No, Bill. Thank you. Or make a rap song out of that. That'd be GAAP. That'd be awesome. But, in our world that we have in the United States, CPAs provide an independent, either opinion or report so that we're kind of the bedrock. Wouldn't you say, Catherine, of bedrock sounds really cool, but we're the foundation where things can be transacted. Bankers can have some confidence in numbers that are independently prepared outside of an ownership group. Investment, investors can have comfort knowing that this financial statement is accurately stated, and it's accurately stated in accordance with generally accepted GAAP. I have to say it better. GAAP. So we're kind of, without this, things in our country and internationally as well, it just doesn't transact as easily. So we're pretty proud of that. We take it pretty seriously in our industry as CPAs to provide that base and that bedrock for a lot of the business transactions to kind of happen, kind of put the grease on the wheel.
Yeah. So is this required by the government then, by law then, that they have these statements?
It depends on the entity. And so GAAP is put out by, our accounting industry. And so that's not necessarily a government regulator, but certain lenders or for other reasons, companies might need GAAP financials.
I would guess if they're going to sell or maybe expand or whatever, is that where it would come into play then too or not?
Well, and again, we need to have consistent financials, and you can't have one business doing it this way and another business doing it that way. So that's the principle of every financial or company who has a lease in our example today has to account for it the exact same way, so you have a comparable, right? So you have, you're comparing an apple to an apple. So if you're right, back to your example, if you're trying to look at three different manufacturing companies to buy, mm-hmm. that's a great example. And right now I'm using my hands very diligently and no one can see that out in the listenership. But if you got three different companies, you would have that consistency to know that everything has been consistently applied, under GAAP, and we have financial statements, so we have the comparability to know which one is the best decision. Mm-hmm. Is that a good way to say that, Catherine?
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, because they could be making completely different things,
exactly.
right? A manufacturing business and,
And you can manipulate financials. That's a really awful word, and Catherine mm-hmm. just kicked me under the table right now. We don't use CPAs and manipulate the same sentence, but you remember the Enron stuff?
Yes.
Right? Big yep. stuff in our industry where it failed, and there was fraud, and you see what happened to the system, which is why we take this so seriously, that we have to consistently apply and be consistent to this governing body, which is not government, mm-hmm. but it's a governing body that makes sure all companies who are issuing financial statements do it the exact same way.
You mentioned international, too, when there's different forms of different monetary system. It has to kind of correlate, right? I mean, whether you're dealing in yen or whatever it might be.
Well, that's currency, obviously, conversions and whatnot. Wouldn't you say, Catherine, the last few years we've been trying to converge, is that the right word, with USA GAAP and international accounting standards?
Yep, and those international accounting standards are called IFRS. So our local businesses, they're certainly not on IFRS. They use the US GAAP, financial statement framework, but there are those standards out there that...
Are they different? I mean, are they similar?
They have a lot of similarities.
Yeah. They're getting more similar.
Yeah.
And this lease, wasn't this where we, USA, was leaning and going towards IFRS? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say, Catherine? And again, I should let you speak to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you had mentioned Enron. And so this new leasing standard really arose out of the scandals with Enron and WorldCom and the off-balance sheet financing. Mm-hmm. So just to get more transparency into what companies have going on with their financing arrangements, if that was through leasing versus, taking out actual debt to purchase assets.
That's a great point you brought up. It is this is really a result of that, and saying, had this been under IFRS, the international standards, Enron may not have happened. We say may not because there was a lot of fraudulent behavior by not only the management team, but also by the former CPA firm, Martha Anderson, right? They were the mm-hmm. folks who were involved.
And they were really highly respected, aren't they?
Well, they were number one in the world, international accounting firm, audit firm, accounting firm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number one in the world by size, on how many billions of revenue they had at the time. But they made mistakes and sacrificed their principles and their ethics for it. And it brought them down. It brought Enron down. And it made the whole world say, wait a minute. I thought CPAs were supposed to be those honest people and transparent people. And they weren't. But again, going back to this IFRS, this was already in place. What's going to be implemented here at the end of the year internationally for a long time, if not forever. And if that had been in place in U.S. GAAP, Enron may not have happened. They would not have had the opportunities to hide stuff and then even go deeper into the fraud. So, I'm getting way off maybe topic today, but it's interesting that you good point, Catherine, that's where that stuff came from, and now we're dealing with it. Now small companies, big companies, medium-sized companies have to deal with it in the United States to make this conversion and this transition, and it can be very significant.
Now, Joel was saying before we came on, there's some software available then that, has been, I suppose, engineered to kind of make this whole thing happen, right?
Right. So we do have a software that helps prepare lease amortization schedules and helps with the financial statement presentation and some of the related disclosures that are required. So that is a service that we provide.
Because it's an ongoing, it's not just a one-timer.
Right.
The first year is a big deal of conversion, transition, and then you got to keep track of it. It feels like forever, but the life of the leases, right? And there's so many things that it's so different. And hopefully we got some time to, if Catherine, you could kind of talk us through what the changes are. Again, numb it down for guys like Bill and I to make sure we understand.
Well, not Joel so much, but for me especially.
So previously, operating leases were not recorded on the balance sheet. They just flowed through lease expense on the income statement. But generally speaking, now under this new standard, those operating leases will be reflected on the balance sheet so that the right to use that leased asset and then a liability for the future payments under that lease, those will be on the balance sheet.
So it's kind of putting it right in your face now. Like if you can't, as a reader, your balance sheet's your first thing you look at, which is a one point in time. Before, there was no asset or liability, and there was a footnote that said, yeah, we got some future lease payments. It was there, but maybe not as readily visible. Mm-hmm. And like Catherine said, it's going to go right to the balance sheet. And that really is in a, you know, back to ratios and what you're, you know, who wants to bring on $3 million of debt when you really don't have debt, but it is kind of debt because you got payments. And that's the unique stuff that's kind of happening.
Right. And leases are, I mean, I'm guessing like stuff is so expensive, there's probably more leasing going on now than maybe ever. I don't know.
There's tons
certainly
of it.
Be.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
there's
yeah.
tons of it for sure.
Yeah, so it's probably something really needed then, right? I mean, to like, if you're getting back to the transparency thing anyway.
Right.
Well, it puts it at the very top of the mountain where you can see it. It's not hidden in the bushes anymore in the footnotes, which again, footnotes are an integral part and you need all of it for a good readership. So that isn't necessarily new, but when you put it on the face of the statement, it's really hard to miss, right?
Yeah.
If you were a debt-free company, and you were leasing it for whatever reason, all of a sudden you're going to pop in a whole bunch of debt on your balance sheet, and your equity is going to take a hit, right? Your equity position, your working capital could take a hit, which is your current assets versus current liabilities. And that's what lenders look at for your financial health. So every year when you go into a loan committee, they're going to say, whoa, what happened to Joel Gratz's company?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was debt-free. Why is there $3 million, whatever number of debt? Are they going down? Did Joel make a bad decision? And that's the stuff I think is we're going to spend a lot of time. And I think the lenders have been doing their work too, I guess, to know this is coming. How many years has this been in the works for us?
Over six.
6 years to get us here because it's been such a big change. We have been pushing back on delay and we were trying to make big gap, small gap, meaning is this really needed for our small companies?
Mm-hmm.
Which never really materialized at this point, right?
No, we're going forward with it.
It's all gap, right? So if I'm $1 million in revenue or $1 billion, I have to deal with the same issue. Mm-hmm. So there's cost to that, which is why we can help the smaller businesses with the cost by doing this service of helping them through the accounting entries and walking them through that. But that's a big impact. And I know in the CPA world, this stuff that maybe doesn't sound exciting to the folks listening, but it's one of the largest in my short lifetime, maybe long lifetime in comparison to Catherine's, but it's probably the biggest gap change I've seen in quite a while, and which is why it's taken 6 years to get us here.
Right. And why it might be so impactful to our small businesses is that, you know, for your loan covenants, it'll change those ratios, as Joel mentioned, the current working capital, current ratio, debt to equity, that sort of thing. So it's a great time heading into year end to take a look at that with your accountant, with your lender, and kind of make a plan for how your balance sheet will look at year end.
Now, Catherine, if somebody, one of our clients goes, you know what? I just don't like this presentation at all. I hate it. Do I have an option to not do it?
There is an option to have a gap departure, what we'd call it. So if you have audited financials, reviewed financials, or compiled financials, that would impact the auditor's report or the accountant's report. So that is an option.
It is an option, but it's kind of like a black eye, right? You walk into your banker and say, here's my financials, and they read a paragraph that says departure. And that scares every lender, I think, that we're like, okay, what does that mean? So you have a choice to make. It's explainable, very easily explainable. We would talk about it in maybe the report and or the footnotes probably in that situation.
Yep.
So you can, there are options if you don't want to deal with it, but it's not, it's a conversation you have to have with your investors and with your lender if you have one, because no one likes to hear the word departure. Generally, that is a swear word, no, uncomfortable thing, even though it's not, but it can be. So
yeah, it does have that connotation, as they say. Now, we're talking private business here. What would this apply to municipalities then when they're coming out with their balance sheets? I mean, Is it going to affect them at all if they're, say, leasing equipment or whatever?
Yep, this is kind of the last phase of the tie-in. So everybody who's left, the publicly traded companies have had it for, what, 2 years already? 1 year?
Yeah, maybe three companies years. Registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
So they've already dealt with it. So, you know, on that side, they were like phase one. And this is probably the end phase, probably. Was there a middle phase? I'm trying to think in the 6 years. Right. But so the big boys got and gals got to do it first, try to work out all the bugs, and now this is it. Like everybody, municipalities, nonprofits, every other type of business entity out there is going to have to deal with it. So that's why it's game time now.
Yeah. Well, that means good news for you. You won't be lacking for work then, it sounds like. You can work at home and at the office both.
Right. Yeah, with all the new tax standards and accounting standards that keep coming out, it's job security for us. So.
But also, it's a service. It's an opportunity for Christensen and Associates to do what you do, and that's... help out with providing that expertise. That
makes my heart full when you say that stuff.
That hopefully is going to ultimately make, what a business, X more, I guess, successful. That's kind of what the goal is, I guess, and make sure they're compliant.
I mean, that's the service, and we take scary things, i.e. gap departures and lease codification, like, a business owner is like, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
It's the service we provide, the comfort we provide. Back to that bedrock, that's what we do, right? No one maybe sees us do our job because we're at home or we're at the office, but, it takes us to kind of start the foundation. And without a good foundation, everything falls apart, right? So, I mean, that's how important we feel our jobs are.
Yeah.
Invaluable, not just, job security. It's all part of the deal. I know when you say that, you're being tongue-in-cheek on that.
Not really, no. I mean, I think
it's real.
Yeah. So, anything else that we haven't covered in the last few minutes here now that we should make sure to get out on this whole thing?
I think we've covered it. Just a reminder to reach out as we head into year end.
And so now this is what, early October? Is this something you can be really seriously looking at right now then to get these statements prepared? And
absolutely.
We actually recommend doing it now instead of doing it after year end, so you can kind of see your impact. You can reach out to your lender saying, this is what it's going to look like. We were actually doing some pro forma financials for folks, meaning projected, so their banker knew what it looked like a year ago, just to kind of know what was coming. So if they had to modify their covenants in their debt agreements, they had time to do it. So the more forthcoming and planning, like anything, right, Bill, it makes the grease on the wheel go better, something kind of smoother. If you kind of come in late in the game, everybody gets nervous and where did this come from? And so now it's a perfect time, and I really appreciate Catherine's time today to talk to this, and her team has been working on the templates, the models for our firm, for our clients, for 2 years. Getting this kind of put together. So we're proud that we can do it. We're proud we can do that service. And as a partner, I'm just tickled pink. I got folks like Catherine who are experts in this field and know exactly what they're doing.
Now, whether or not a business has utilized the agency for tax preparation or whatever, you would take on other clients for this express thing. But you're open to that, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Oh, yeah. We're selling stuff all the time, Bill. So we got bills to pay too, right? So we're out there all the time. And if any lender is listening out there and has questions, we would be happy to come and sit down with their lending team to tell them the impacts, what they should be looking for. That we would be great at that. Catherine's team would be great at that. And we would welcome that opportunity to do that, to make sure all the lenders in the area are ready to go and are knowing the goods and the bads of it and knowing what they might have to do on their end to accommodate.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. All right. Well, I think if we'll just find out how the best way to contact you, Catherine, or the firm, I guess, if people have questions at all.
Sure. You could visit our website, search Christensen PLLP in Wilmer, and you'll find our contact information there. So.
Yeah, ChristensenCPA.com, and our phone number here in Wilmer, 320-235-5937. I'm sure there's cool pictures of Catherine and I on the website somewhere. To do that. We should actually take a live photo of us in the radio sometime and put you, can you do that? Is that against your deal? If we ever took a picture of that, we should maybe do that sometime.
Yeah.
Get some spin.
Yeah.
I could talk to the lenders and see if that's okay with them too. But
we could put it on your, when they put you on demand, you know, they put these programs in there. We could actually have a picture, I suppose, to go with it. So
maybe our marketing gals listening.
We'll have to work on that, right?
How much do I have to pay you for that though? That's the thing. Maybe I can't afford you, Bill.
My image is absolutely you don't want it. Yeah. it's one of those departures you don't want to have to deal with. So
that is awesome. So,
I have a face made for radio, as the old adage goes. So
well, I can't speak for Catherine, but I'm probably in your bucket as well. But so are you doing the radio tonight for the football game in Belgrade?
Nope.
You're just basketball?
Yeah.
All right.
And
playing ACGC tonight.
Yes, and only a few basketball. We don't do all of the games
either. Oh, you don't?
Either,
okay.
But,
okay. Awesome.
But yeah, I heard David Blum is on the coach's show football show every Saturday, and he was hoping for rain and wind tonight.
Is that what he was hoping
for? Yeah, because he knows the Falcons are very good at running the ball, and the Jaguars are
very good at passing the ball.
That's their kind of forte. And, but they've had some great games, really.
A lot
of hard hitting, and I think they enjoy playing each other too. So.
In respect, mutual respect. Yeah. Yep. No, absolutely.
And
good.
Wilmer's got a big test tonight with Ricori, and that's a great rivalry there too.
Yeah, that's your town, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
Yeah. So does it bring back any memories of your playing days then?
Always. I live vicariously through all the athletes in the area. I still read the paper religiously and know all the names of the folks. And obviously, I have a lot of clients, sons and daughters who are playing. I watch volleyball. The girls volleyball team here in Wilmer and Belgrade is doing fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think local sports is the greatest thing in the world. And I try not to live through my high school days because I was nothing special, but I loved it. You know, I just love being part of the team and doing my thing and whatnot.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I enjoyed seeing your son playing basketball yet as recently as last year. Now he's back for another year, isn't he?
Well, he is. He's a senior this year, but he tore his ACL and he's out for both football and basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So if Jake, you're listening, man, we love you. But it's been tough.
Yeah.
A lot of pain and a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes have it.
And you know, maybe back in my day, even 50 years ago, maybe people were doing it too, but they didn't have the kind of treatment now. But it seems to me, I think with these kids getting a lot stronger and so forth, and maybe faster, there seems to be more ligament injuries. It really does seem like that. And girls too. A lot of them have ACL issues. So,
my take. If I got 1 minute on what's going on is all the farm kids did a lot with their legs and you're on uneven ground all the time carrying a lot of weight.
Yep, that's
which
right.
I was, and that has to make your knee stronger, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in theory, my son has not had that type of activity day after day. Not that my knees aren't wore out now, but I mean, during that time, like my knees never had an issue. I broke bones, but I didn't tear ACLs, and none of my teammates had that. So, I mean, you're right. It's a phenomenon that's coming here this generation or more common.
Yes.
If it did happen, like you said, maybe they didn't fix the ACL because you can live without an ACL. You just can't make a twist anymore, basically, or you fall over, but learned a lot about it. Sorry, I'm taking up time, but thank you for asking.
But no, that's unfortunate because so many, kids are dealing with it now. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that. So.
Yeah. Very good.
But I think you make a good point, and because a lot of these injuries are non-contact even.
They're non-contact.
You know, so that's what's weird. You know, you're just, like you say, making a little pivot or something, and all of a sudden, or fall awkwardly to the ground or floor or whatever, and bingo.
And bingo, And bingo.
And then they getting, it's easy to get hurt, but it takes a while and a lot of effort to get healthy again.
Oh, yeah, Jake has said it hurts far more now after surgery than it did the day it busted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I've never had that injury, so I feel bad for all folks out there. I know Tim at the radio station.
Yeah, he's coming off his total knee now.
Yeah,
so,
he replaced the whole thing, right? So he just got in the radio booth again.
It's his second
yesterday.
Day back, so.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and he goes to therapy, and he was talking about that. She really puts him through the paces. So.
Yeah.
No, that's what it takes. You really have to
especially when you're older. No offense, Tim. when you're older, you're really going to have to push. And I'm old, too. But
All right, guys. Have a good weekend, and thanks for coming by.
Yeah, same to you, Bill.